Now I see grace. Hallelujah. I stand in May. I'm staring at an empty grave. And the stone that you rolled away. When I was prideful, you saw sun. When I left the 99, you saw the one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace.
Well, good morning, Grace Point Church. Good to see all of you here today. We appreciate you coming out and being a part of our worship time. And trust you had a good week. And even if you didn't, hope you have a great time of worship that will kind of take care of that, okay? All right. So one thing we like to do together is to give you an opportunity just to say hello to somebody next to you or behind you. And the way we do that, I'm going to have you stand in just a second. And you just turn to somebody, say, it's good to see you. Welcome to Grace Point. All right. Let's stand up and do that right now. I want to read a couple of verses for us out of Psalm chapter 34, verses 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord, all his people, for those who worship him will possess everything important in life. Young lions may grow tired and hungry, but those intent on knowing the eternal God will have everything they need. God indeed does provide for our needs. We're going to look at that today as we go through some of the teachings of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that your promise is to provide for our needs. Forgive us for the times we confuse our wants and our needs. But remind us today that you are God and we're not. So remind us that we need to depend on you. Sometimes, Father, you provide in the same way over and over. Sometimes you find new ways to provide. But through it all, help us to trust you. Bless our worship, Father. We know you're here. Reveal yourself to us in the ways we need to sense you as we seek you. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I start, I want to draw your attention to two things in your bulletin. First, this sheet right here. John kind of mentioned about this. If you're interested in any of these, we need you just to put your initials there, check it, and then give us your name and your contact info. The one-on-one class is actually this evening from 4:30 to 6. We're going to have some new folks come to that. If you've been through that before and you want to go through it again, I've got better. No. But if, sure enough, if you want to go through it again and kind of do a refresher course on that, you're certainly welcome to do so. I think those two I'll mention. Baptism at the beach as well. I don't know if I'm ever going to let John and Jason, maybe it was just John, plan baptism at the beach again. Because we're going to do it on October 5th. It's like John. We've had July, August, even no, we're going for October. So it's going to be great. If you're going to be baptized or you want to be baptized, check that off and let us know that, and we'll get back with you regarding that. And everybody is welcome. We hope that you'll come. We had a great time of fellowship last year. Plan to do the same thing again this year and then get some folks baptized. Fair enough? Very good. Years and years and years ago, I took my boys out fishing, had gotten a boat, and I wanted to make good use of it. So we went down the Folly River, turned left. I don't know if that's a boating concept. We turned left in the Stono, and we're heading out to the ocean. And at least back then, I realized sandbars change, but you had to get through a little sandbar there. And once you got through, clear sailing all the way out to the ocean. We probably went, I don't know, 5 miles or so, 3 miles, 5 miles off. And we just took our fishing sticks out and started fishing. And we're having a great time. Now, my kids were little kids. And everything's going great. Had a radio in the boat, and I'm listening to that, and all of a sudden, a noise came out. Kind of noise that comes through your television when there's an emergency. A noise came out, and I went, that don't sound good. And then I heard the guy on the radio say, there is a front coming through. There's heavy rain, thunder, and lightning. And I thought, I need to go. We just need to get out of there. So got everything back in the boat and started heading in. And I realized not far down the ocean, I went through what was like a blanket of cold air. And I thought, that ain't good. Not good at all. So I'm trying to get in there. And then all of a sudden, here comes the rain, the thunder, and the lightning. And I'm thinking, okay, boys, get down on the floor. I don't know if that's any safer or not. Get down on the floor. And we're going through lightning, wind, rain. And I'm like, oh, God, please get us through. Please get us through. And then not did I just hear the thunder and lightning. I saw the lightning. It cracked somewhere behind me. It had to hit the water. It hit something right there. So I went from like first or second gear, like, bam, and I'm getting in there. So I told my boys, don't sit down on the floor. Lay down on the floor. Like, that's going to stop the lightning. But I didn't know what else to do. And sure enough, we're all the way in, back into Folly Beach. We're seeing this lightning and stuff. By the way, we fished, didn't catch any fish, had a good time until we thought we were going to die in the water because of lightning. Don't you love those type of fishing trips? Today, we're going to look at one of the greatest fishing stories ever. It's found right in the Bible. We're in a series of messages called God's Got That. This is the third part. We're going to be talking about when you've come up empty. None of the fishing stories you've ever heard, including mine, can match the one found in Luke chapter 5. Four of the 12 disciples of Jesus were fishermen: Peter, James, John, and Andrew, professional fishermen. They had a fishing business in northern Israel around the Sea of Galilee. And at this point, Peter, James, John, and Andrew are not yet disciples of Jesus. They know about him, but they haven't decided to follow him. They're professional fishermen. They've been out all night fishing on the Sea of Galilee, and they've caught nothing. Look at these verses in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all night last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time, their nets were full, so much so that they began to tear. The nets were falling apart. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and he said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they'd caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Can you imagine everything you've worked for in life? Can you imagine the things that support you and your family that you do for a living? Just all of a sudden, walking away, carrying nothing with you? That's what he did. Have you ever felt like this? I worked all night long, I worked all day long, and I haven't gotten anything done. Haven't made a sale, haven't sold a house, haven't fixed things with my family, haven't found a job. Sometimes this happens. You give it your best shot, and you still come up short. Sometimes you work hard and long, and you've got nothing to show for it. And at times you think you're following God's will by faith, and still things just don't pan out the way you hoped they would. Sometimes you hang in there with your marriage and you struggle. Maybe you get some counsel and you're reading books and doing all you can do to make it work, but you don't see any improvement. Maybe you study for an exam and you give it your best and still you don't pass. Sometimes you work hard, you've been responsible and faithful, you've been diligent, and all of a sudden, economic times change and you get laid off. This fishing story has a lot to teach us because everybody's fishing for something. We may be fishing for someone's approval. We're looking out there. We're trying to find somebody just to love us. Maybe you're fishing for security. Maybe you're fishing for significance. I want my life to count. Maybe you're fishing for a husband or a wife or a family. And this story teaches us how God rescues us when we come up empty. So let's look at how God's got those times in life. When we go through those times, we may not realize it, but God still is in charge. How do we make that happen? I'm going to share with you this morning four action steps that we can take. Number one, I need to give Jesus complete access to my life. In Luke 5:3, Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put it out a little more from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from that boat. Here's the starting point. You've got to get Jesus in your boat. If you want God to rescue you, to move you from emptiness to fullness, you've got to get Jesus in your boat. Notice, they worked all night long and they caught nothing. 10 hours, nothing. And now in 10 minutes, they catch more than their boats could even handle. You've got to get Jesus in your boat. If you want God to rescue you, to move you from emptiness to fulfillment, you've got to get Jesus in your boat. Notice, they worked all night long and caught nothing in 10 hours. Now in 10 minutes, they catch more than they can handle. What's the difference? It's the same lake. It's the same boat. It's the same bait. The only difference is that they were fishing in the same waters. The only difference is now Jesus is in their boat. Right? It made all of the difference. The only things that was different between nothing and fullness for them was Jesus was in the boat. Do you think that makes a difference? Do you think if we have Jesus in our lives, in our boat, that our lives might be a little bit different? It's a game changer. They're not fishing by themselves anymore. In this story, the boat is how they made a living. Simon's business was his boat. Simon gives up his boat. He gives it to Jesus. Jesus is now in his boat. Do you ever see the commercial, "What's in Your Wallet"? Saw that? This is the Quicksilver cashback from Capital One. Who's in your boat? What does it mean to have Jesus in your boat? It means you dedicate who you are to God. You dedicate everything to God, your career. You may say, "Well, Pastor, I'm retired." Good. Dedicate your retirement to God. Give your boat to Jesus and you say, "Jesus, use my job, my platform, my time, my resources. Use that as a means by which I can share your love and your grace and your forgiveness with others around me." Your student in school, great. Use your school as a means by which you can share Jesus with others. Whenever you want God to bless something in your life, ask him and give him control of it. Some of you need to get Jesus in your work. You say, "Well, Lord, use my job as your platform to spread the good news." And that's good, because you realize if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you're a missionary. I say, "Kevin, no, missionaries are out there." No, 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 no. You're a missionary. You're a missionary disguised as a salesman. You're a missionary disguised as a teacher. You're a missionary disguised as a business person. You're a missionary disguised as a doctor or a nurse. You're a missionary disguised as that. All of us are called by God to share his love with others. Say, "Pastor, isn't that your job?" It's my job as a person, as a pastor, but it's your job as well. Just as a believer, it's your job to spread that good news. So ask yourself the question, have you committed your boat to Jesus? I can see somebody now going to take this sermon, going to fix their boat. On the way down to Folly, on the side of the boat, is this boat is Jesus' boat. Commit your boat to Jesus. Some of you are going through tough times right now, and you're trying to change everything. The disciples didn't need to change their nets, nor their boats, nor their business partners. They just needed to make sure Jesus was in the boat and he was in control. Secondly, admit that your efforts aren't working. Look at verses 4 and 5. When Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon Peter answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night long, and we haven't caught anything." Now, you got to remember, Peter is a professional fisherman. Do you realize how hard it must have been for Peter to say that? I have a living. I've got a place where I bring my fish and people pay me good money for my fish. It lets me live the lifestyle I want to live. And it had to be humbling to say, you know what? We fished all night and we have nothing to show for it. The truth is they're doing their best, but sometimes our best is not good enough. Would you agree with that? Sometimes there are situations that are out of our control. And we start thinking, I've tried so hard for so long, and it's just not making any difference. So what do you need to do? You get Jesus in your boat, and you admit that it's not working. There are three reasons why I don't want to admit that it's not working. Number one, pride. Some of you might be too proud to write that down. I don't want anybody to think I can't handle it. I want people to think I've got it all together. I don't need anyone's intervention. You may very well need to simply swallow that pride and get over it. The fact is, none of us are near as much all that as we think we are. You need God. Pride stops us. Stubbornness. Secondly, stubbornness is a reason we may not admit our lives by ourselves isn't working. Stubbornness is when I'm unwilling to change the way I'm doing things. I've always done it this way. You know, the greatest enemy of tomorrow's success is yesterday's success. But we're not in yesterday anymore. I love that line in The Wizard of Oz. We're not in Kansas anymore. We're not in yesterday. You can't live on yesterday's success today. It's not going to work. Pride keeps us away. Stubbornness keeps us away. And next, fear. Fear keeps us away. Pride, stubbornness, and fear. And I'm afraid that people will think less of me. In fact, I'm afraid to get Jesus in my boat because he may steer it in a different direction that I want to go. Regardless of the cause, the second step is to admit that your way just isn't working. And because of that, you'd be more willing to change. Third, you need to obey whatever Jesus tells you to do. Whatever it is, you need to be willing to do whatever Jesus tells you to do, even if it doesn't make sense by our standards. I must do things that Jesus may ask me to do that seem illogical and irrational. I don't understand it. It's confusing, but I'm going to do it anyway. Look at Luke 5, verse 5. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so," underline that part of the verse, "because you say so, I will let down the nets. This is the key to experiencing the truth that God has for us. That God actually has things under control, even if they look like they're not under control. The key to experience the truth is that God's got this. Even when God tells you no, God's got this. Not because I think it's the best thing necessarily, not because it's necessarily popular, not because I can afford it, because God said so. Now, not only is Jesus in the boat, he's also giving the fishing instructions for the men who are professional fishermen. Notice what Peter does not do. First, he doesn't argue with Jesus. Excuse me, Lord. You're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. You may not have been in many boats or been up many rivers, but I know where to go. If I want this kind of fish, I go over here. And if you want to build a house, you do what you do. Remember, at this point, Peter is not a disciple at this point. He knows about Jesus. He's very familiar with him. By that time in his ministry, a lot of people knew about Jesus. He said, no, I'm not sure I need to follow you in that way. You know what? I know fish. They're not biting. So who are you to tell me where to go and how to do it? And Peter doesn't listen to his feelings. I'm sure Peter is dead tired. He's been up all night. Some of you, many of us probably had to work all night long and still had something to do the next morning. It's rough. I remember when I was in Bluefield College, the first college I went to, I was brand new nuts. I was scared to death because I wasn't really smart. You say, oh, no, you're not. No, I really wasn't. I barely got into college. My counselor and English teacher in high school, after I took my SATs, came down, brought me to their office, and they said, what have you been doing the last 12 years of your life? And I thought, this doesn't sound good. They said, you should be proud. And they didn't say that, but they did ask me that question. You have the lowest scores we've ever seen anybody on an SAT. And I'm like, oh my gosh. All right, so fortunately, I applied to a junior college, two-year college, accepted everybody, and I thought, yes, I'm in. And the dean of students, a wonderful lady, I just love this lady, called me to her office and started talking with me, and I thought, does everyone get called into these offices? She said, well, I was just looking over some things from your high school, your testing and stuff, and I just want you to know, you may have a little challenge here. So I just, don't be upset. You know, sometimes people should just expect like C's and D's. I'm like, geez. And I was like, I'm going to prove you wrong. I had to write a paper first week that I was there. I don't think I wrote many papers in high school. I was so proud of it. It was so good. I mean, here it is. Made a presentation. Got a D. And I'm like, enough's enough. But God was faithful. He called me to ministry. I didn't choose it. And got a little better. But that was tough when you're trying to do something that you really can't do well. And we say to God, God, you've got to take this. And Peter said that thing, because you say so. God, I'll do it because you say so. If you'll become a because you say so person, God will not just bless your life, but he'll bless other people through your life. Lord, your instructions may not make any sense to me, but because you say so, I'll do it. What has God told you to do that you're sitting back and still saying, I'm not sure, not yet, I'm not sure I have the resources? And God's told you maybe multiple times, get involved in this, make this part of your ministry, and you're just holding back. time for you to say, all right, God, you've got this. I don't have to have it. You've got it. God may want you to forgive somebody and stop holding the grudge. I don't want to do it, God. God says, you need to do that. God says, I want you to go to that coworker and I want you to tell them about you and your relationship with me. He said, I'm a little afraid to do that, but we need to do that. God may want you to forgive someone, stop holding a grudge. God may want you to say to people you're not even comfortable with that God, Jesus, has changed your life. I don't know what God already told you to do, but you do, and you need to be busy doing it. God's told some of you that you need to be baptized. Well, guess what? On October 5th, we have a baptism at the beach coming up. Now's the time to do it. We have a membership class tonight at 4:30, and God wants you to find out more about our church. Just because you go through the membership class doesn't mean you have to join our church, but it lets you know more about who we are, why we're here, what we do, why what we do, and the reasoning for the doing it the way we do. So come at 4:30. Even if you didn't sign up, no problem. We have plenty of books for you. Be a part of that. Again, I don't know what God's told you to do, but you do. And it's time for you to say, okay, God, I'm going to do it. Jesus may be saying to you, let down your nets. And your response should be, all right. Whatever you say, Lord. Then it says here that he should launch out into deep water. Why does Jesus tell Peter to do that? Because that's where the big fish were. Most people in life live their lives in the shallows of life. They live baby Christianity, just enough of Jesus to bug them, but not bless them. They never get in over their heads. They live in the superficial level. They come to church and they paddle around in the shadows of life. They may catch some minnows, but God says, I want you to catch bigger fish. But when we stay in the shallows, sometimes we miss out on God's best. Why do we not go deeper? Why do we prefer to stay in the shallows of life? Because we think it's safer in the shallows. We think that it's safer in the shallows. There are no big waves by the shoreline. Your boat isn't going to get rocked around. You think it's not risky to live life in the shallows. That's just not true. When I went offshore fishing by myself in the heat of the summer, I would jump in the water and cool off, right? Most of us have been in bed out there, that's what you do. Until I baited a hook, threw it overboard of my boat, trying to tie a balloon on, and when that happened, my reel just started spinning, and I thought, what in the world? Reeled that thing in, it was a pretty big shark. Guess what I never did again? I never jumped in the water out there again. I didn't go to the beach for years. But that was offshore. I also remember being in the Stono River and seeing a really big shark coming up the Stono River. I didn't do any kind of tubing anymore in the Stono River. And I do remember being in the beach. Again, one of my boys, just a little bit taller, a little bit bigger. We're sitting out, just standing in Folly Beach. And I felt something hit my leg like that. And I thought, wow. And I thought, And I turned to my son and I'd say, did you feel something? He said, I did. We're in shallow water. He said, I did. Jesus walked on the water. I ran on it. We think it's safer in the shallows? No. Not a bit. Give Jesus complete access to your life. Admit your efforts aren't working. Obey what Jesus tells you to because he says so. Parents, have you ever did that to your kids? Why? Because I said so. I don't know if that's the best parenting. Sometimes I think it is. But when Jesus says, because I said so. It's time to move. And last, number four, we also need to expect Jesus to turn things around. Expect Jesus to turn things around. Follow me on the logic of this. If God tells you to go fishing and then he comes along with you in the boat and then he points out where you need to let your nets down, do you think you're going to come up empty? I don't think so. And I imagine at this point, Peter is quivering in anticipation. He's like, oh boy, oh boy. And all the fear and fatigue and frustration that he felt from the night before is passing away. He says, this is going to be it. This is going to be great. He's not afraid of failing now. He's not afraid of taking risks now. Why? Because he has God's presence in his boat with him. He has God's plan in his mind. And he has God's promise in his heart. There's no way he's not going to succeed. Look what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. The one who calls you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. You probably need to underline that whole verse. If God calls you, he's completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. Think about it. God can control the forces of nature. All the fish of the Sea of Galilee came over here to this point right now. If God can control nature like that, he obviously can meet the needs we have in our lives. But so many times we want to do it our way anyhow. The best way to do it is his way, not ours. Look at the results in Luke chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. When they had done so, that is, when they had done what Jesus told them to do, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full, they began to sink. Notice Peter's reaction, verses 8 and 9. When Simon Peter saw this, the miracle of the fish, he fell at Jesus' knees and he said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. In other words, you are God, and there's no way I deserve to be around you. For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish that he had taken, and so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's business partners. The real lesson, look at the verse. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. So they pulled up their boats onto the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. There's no telling how much money, how much time they had invested in those boats, in their oars, their paddles, all that they needed, the nets to catch the fish, how they're going to process, and they literally pulled them up and they walked away to follow Jesus. That sounds great, and I believe it's true. Personally, that'd be hard for me to do. It really would be. But I know it would be the best thing to do if that's what God said. Here's the real lesson of the whole story. Write this in. We need to be more interested in the blesser than the blessing. It's great to know how God blesses us and to see how he's taking care of us. But sometimes we get so caught up in the blessing, we forget the blesser. In what area of your life are you coming up short right now? You ready to give God complete access to your life, admit that your efforts aren't working, to obey whatever Jesus tells you to do, expect Jesus to turn things around? Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to have that mindset? Because when we do those things, God can rescue us. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for reminding us through this story that you indeed are in charge. And that sometimes you take us through a process so that we're ready to follow you wherever you call us to go, whatever you call us to be. We're ready to say, all right, God, I'm going to put my boats down. I'm going to give my nets up. And I'm going to follow you. And even if it's not that dramatic, you still are calling us to be a part of what you're doing. And in those areas, maybe we need to say, first time or again, God, I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to do what you want me to do. I'm ready to go where you want me to go. So bless us through your word today. Especially those times when we come up empty. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Great job. Uh-oh. This is exciting when Kevin walks back up. Watch out. Here it comes.
Huh? He started it.
There you go, man. We want to hear every word.
Test, there we go. So it just dawned on me while we're doing all this, you know, and I'm like, man, it was, you know, decent message and good music and, yeah, it moved me. And we're talking about the baptism at the beach, and I tell four stories about how sharks even at Folly Beach. I'm going to say this. John and Jason and I will do our best to protect you. But if a shark comes your way, you must not be living right, okay?
So I'm supposed to do announcements after that, you know. This is so if you would, on that blue sheet, add a little spot in there that says shark protection. You'll come out with us into the water. And no, we're excited about that. Today at 4:30, of course, we said the 101 class. That'll be over in the fellowship hall. And come on out and join us for that as well. Also, there's several items there, children's work. If there's a CPR AED class we're working on, we've got over 20 people that have signed up for that as well. So a lot of great things. And then, of course, our James Allen Outreach this month on the 30th. We actually go in there and help people who need food. We help them get the food that can help them out in a tough time in their life. So if you'd like to volunteer and help with that. And if you filled out your card today, don't forget, drop it in the box there as you go today as well. Now, I think I broke my pinky. Where's that CPR group? Tell you what. Well, we're going to have a great week this afternoon. If you can come back, come on, 4:30 or so. Come a little early and see everybody. Let's pray together. Take that excitement with you as you go. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this great group that's gathered, the great music that we get to share in that excitement. Thank you for this message challenging us to give you complete access and follow your orders and obey exactly what you want us to do. We love you. We thank you and we pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.